Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An explosion at an arms dump that killed 7 U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan was an accident, authorities and militants fighting U.S. forces said on Friday. Thursday's blast near the town of Ghazni was one of the worst single blows to U.S. forces hunting al-Qaeda and Taliban in Afghanistan since their intervention in late 2001. A U.S. military spokesman said the incident was still under investigation. Conservatives expressed anger in private as administration officials said George W. Bush now estimates that the new Medicare overhaul law will cost a third more than projected when Congress passed the legislation last year. Many conservatives say privately they were owed an explanation as to why the White House did not provide them with the figures before they voted. Conservatives said they felt browbeaten into backing the legislation, which passed the House in November by 5 votes after leaders held the roll call open nearly 3 hours while nailing down support. Parting company with many of his fellow Republicans, Senator John McCain said Thursday he wants an independent commission to take a sweeping look at recent intelligence failures. The White House has dismissed the proposal, saying the CIA is committed to reviewing the intelligence behind claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration also argues that the weapons search is not yet complete. In an interview with the Associated Press, McCain says he believes the public needs an assessment that won't be clouded by partisan division. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said Thursday that people concerned about losing freedom to government anti-terrorism efforts should speak out. The Supreme Court is taking up several terror-related cases this spring, including challenges to the government detention of terror suspects without legal rights. Ginsburg, speaking to a group of women's rights lawyers, was asked if people's rights were in danger. She said on important issues like the balance between liberty and security, if the public doesn't care, then the security side is going to outweigh the other. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
The man accused of bilking Cincinnati out of $184,000 finally was busted by a woman in New York City who did some background research before going out on a date with him. Investigators have been looking for LaShawn Pettis Brown for about a year in connection with a failed theater project. Pettis Brown's prospective date ran his name through a Google internet search engine and found an FBI warrant for his arrest. The woman called the FBI and told agents she was meeting Pettis Brown at an Applebee's restaurant on Long Island. The man was arrested when he arrived. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working. They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do. Roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer and everybody else cuts back.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Yes, well, it is Friday. Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. And, of course, you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Something very odd, Kathy, just today. Some members of the traveling White House press corps seem to be growing a spine where it concerns Bush. We've got an example here of exactly what we were talking about the other night. This is scary, but remember last night we were saying, why don't these reporters, when they're questioning Scott McClellan, and they get one of these half-witted, half-assed answers, the next reporter just pick it up from where the first reporter left off, repeat it if necessary. That's exactly what happened with Too Stupid to Be President today, and we have that audio for you tonight. Also, here in Georgia, there's a good question whether or not... we are going to drop the word evolution. As a matter of fact, stop teaching evolution to our primary and secondary school students in order to mollify the knuckle-dragging fundamentalist Christian right-wing freaks in the state and their superintendent of schools, Kathy Cox, who's a Republican, voted into office in 2002. And we mentioned this last night, but now Jimmy Carter has come out. Jimmy Carter, who is a Christian of the highest degree, he's also an engineer and a scientist. Now Jimmy Carter has weighed in on this issue. Hey, so we've got lots of fun and frivolity for you tonight. Hope you're going to stick around. CBS News tonight with Dan Rather, very interesting. CBS, as you know, has decided not to run the MoveOn.org ad that was the winner in the 30 seconds. What was it called? 30 seconds. Bush in 30 seconds. That was the I don't want to say contests, but I guess that's what it was. And they got something like, what, 1,500 entries. And the winning entry is one called Child's Pay. Child's Pay. It's 30 seconds. It's great. I'm sure you all have seen it. You can see it at a number of places. MoveOn.org is one place. You can also see it at CBS.org. They have it there. CNN, I believe, has it. But CBS is refusing still to run it during the Super Bowl. So MoveOn.org, well, what I was going to say is Dan Rather treated this as a news story, and I thought it was very interesting for CBS to explain that CBS is not going to run this ad, and yet Dan Rather described it pretty much in its entirety, and they did show, of the 30-second spot, they must have shown about 10 seconds of it. Enough of you certainly got the message, and you got the tagline. At the end, guess who's going to be paying for Bush's $1 trillion tax cutter? I'm not sure that that's exactly how it ends. But there it was on CBS Evening News with Dan Rather. Well, what MoveOn has decided to do, since CBS won't air it, and I think it's just absolutely cowardly of these people, but it's so typical, isn't it? CBS is also the one that backed down on the broadcast about former President Reagan, which Republican freaks considered insufficiently flattering. So none of these networks have any spine or backbone, really, truly. You know that. I know that. We all know that. That's why we use the Internet so much. But for CBS to treat it as a news story, I thought was just almost laughable. At first I thought, what the hell is going on? Well, MoveOn has decided to buy spots on CNN, two spots that will run these commercials during Super Bowl halftime. And there's a campaign on right now. They're asking you not to boycott the Super Bowl, but during halftime, switch over to CNN to watch the MoveOn.org commercial. That's all. Just switch over. At 8:10 p.m. and 8:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 8:10 p.m. and 8:35 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Switch to CNN to watch these two ads, or the ad. Illinois Democrat Senator Dick Durbin gave a speech about CBS on the floor of the Senate the other day. He said, quote, maybe network executives at CBS are so afraid of political pressure from the right wing and their business advertisers who are in league with the right wing politics of America that they're afraid to put anything on the air that might in fact make things uncomfortable. If that is the case, it's time for CBS to announce the name of their network, to announce that the name of their network is now the Conservative Broadcasting System and come clean with American viewers. Now, they had that quote on Dan Rather tonight when they came back. Dan Rather had kind of a grin on his face because if there is a non-conservative anchor on television, it would have to be Dan Rather, but there he was. 28 members of the House of Representatives wrote a letter to CBS, which said, quote, the choice not to run this paid advertisement appears to be part of a disturbing pattern on CBS's part to bow to the wishes of the Republican National Committee. And it goes on and on and on. A lot of editorials around the country, San Francisco Chronicle, Boston Globe, L.A. Times, have come out in favor of the ad against CBS. The Boston Globe wrote, quote, MoveOn.org's 30-second ad, which has aired on CNN, is a gentle yet powerful depiction of how hard today's children will have to work to pay off the country's mounting deficit. That's a vital message that might get lost in a year of campaign rhetoric, and it deserves a response from the White House in its own 30 seconds of imagery. America, sitting on the couch, junk food in hand, just might sit up and want to know more, end quote. And so it goes. Now, this is, as you know, this is a touchy issue for me because I have been run off of more stations and networks because of my point of view than I care to go through. It's just awful. And it's going to be very difficult once this network disappears. It's going to be difficult for me to wind up someplace because of my point of view. And for you, those of you who listen to my point of view, it's like, duh. You know, I have real leftists send me emails and say, Malloy, you're not, you may be a liberal, but you're not a leftist. But even as gentle, sure, I use intense language, and I get real head up about this because I don't like to see my country being destroyed by Nazis. There's just something in me that doesn't like that. You know what I'm saying? There's something in me that doesn't like to see the brain-dead response from 52, 54, 56% of Americans who still see this thug as being a decent president. So, yeah, I get head up, as we say in the South. I get real head up about it. But it also, you know, the thing that makes you listen to this program is the thing that's going to keep this program from winding up someplace else. Possibly. We'll see what happens. But whenever I see something like this with the CBS television network, it does sit very close to home for me. I just can't believe that CBS, for God's sake, if you've seen the ad, which I have, I'm sure everybody's seen it. You can see it's all over the internet. You can see the ad. It is one of the most effective ads I've seen. It's not brutal. It's not like 30 seconds of this program with somebody screaming in, profanity in the microphone the way I do, calling Bush a killer and all. You know, it's nothing like that at all. It's just a series of children doing mostly repetitive jobs, factory jobs, with a look of, they're expressionless. They look like little child robots going about their business. And it's very touching. At the very end, a card comes up on screen that says something about the, I guess who's going to be paying for Bush's trillion-dollar tax cut. And that, you see, CBS says is too controversial. Now, they're running anti-drug ads. But the response from CBS Entertainment President, whatever the hell the guy is, he was on CBS News tonight, the response is, well, that's not an advocacy ad. It's White House-backed, but it's not an advocacy ad. Well, then what the hell is it? You know, what is it, 30 million, 40 million Americans smoke pot? Big deal. Should children smoke pot? No! Of course not! And children should not be saddled with the debt that Bush is building up. It's not just going to be your children, Booby. It's going to be your grandchildren. We're going to have to work this one off. So, anyway. Go to MoveOn.org. They've got a petition there, I think. Is it a petition? I'm not sure exactly what it is. But don't forget, 8:10 and 8:35 this Sunday, during Super Bowl, switch to CNN. Now, those switches will register with Nielsen. For the home television sets that have those tracking devices on them, those switches will register. It'll also register with CNN. So, you know, let these bastards know. What else are we going to do? What else are you going to do? Okay? And to MoveOn's credit, they're not calling for a boycott. They're not calling for, you know, that's ridiculous. We are just insane enough in this country, myself included, that come Super Bowl Sunday, I want to watch the game. I couldn't care less about professional sports than I already do. But World Series, Super Bowl, yeah. You know, I get with friends, drink some beers, 20 or 30 people together, throw things at the television, and have a good time. I want to see the Boston or the New England Patriots go down. Oh, Jesus, I want to see them go down because of that right-wing quarterback punk they've got who sat up there in the gallery during Bush's State of the Union. Never mind. But yeah, I want to see it. So to MoveOn's credit, they're not asking for anything weird. They're just saying at 8:10 and 8:35 p.m. Sunday night, switch over to CNN and look at the ad. That's all. Oh my. All right. I just get carried away with that. That CBS stuff. That not putting something on the air because it's controversial. Who in the hell owns the airwaves? Obviously, most broadcast organizations think they own the airwaves. And in a very literal sense, they do. Very gradually, the ownership of the airwaves shifted from you and me to these conglomerates. And now they dictate. Oh, well. Armand is calling from Bradenton, Florida. Armand, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. In all honesty, I have to say that
Can I get you to hold on with the honesty? That scares me a little bit. But let me put you on hold a second, Armand, because we got a break here. We'll come right back and get you after the break.
Take away freedom of choice. Take away the right. I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Before past the hour, we're talking with Armand in Bradenton, Florida. Now, you were going to get honest or tell us the truth or something, right?
Well, of course, it's my opinion, but I think that I don't believe in censorship. But beyond that, I think if that's the case, inadvertently, CBS did move on a big favor, because I don't think that environment. The Super Bowl is the place where a bunch of obsessive sports geeks are going to be emotionally touched by that ad to the full extent that the people that designed it would hope that it would accomplish. And by probably going over to CNN, it'll probably do far much more good in line with what MoveOn.org, the people behind it, had hoped for, because it's a totally different setting. You got to understand that there's people, so many people, the majority of them that watch this, that participate, whether they actually believe it themselves or not, they go along with the party atmosphere, and this is a once-a-year, you know, sports event that attracts a lot of people that's in a totally different mental state. And I think that, you know, this is kind of out of its element. I don't know who wanted to put it there anyway. And I think that psychologically, this is just my opinion, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but you can build on that momentum of the people and their party effort and stuff with the ads, like they're going to put in. I heard R.J. Reynolds is going to put some ads in, and there's going to be some other ones there. And I think it'll build on that climate of party, party, hearty, hearty, and touch emotionally, but not to the type and degree that the people at MoveOn had hoped to accomplish with the particular ad they have in the setting that it would be projected in. And I just think that it's kind of interesting the way it's all worked out, but it's really, in my opinion, it's to the betterment of MoveOn if they're sincere that they want to really touch people where they really want to touch them with their emotions about, you know, what this deficit's really going to do to the future of our social culture and to the inhabitants of our society.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Armin. I got what you're saying. Thank you. I appreciate it. My only comment on that would be I think people who are watching the Super Bowl would respond, and I think that's the genius of the ad. I've watched the ad several times now, and it's not a hammer-you-over-the-head kind of ad where excuse me, where people watching the Super Bowl would say, first of all, what the hell is that doing here? And secondly, it's not designed to offend anyone. It simply asks a question. And the genius of it is the use of children in the silent advertisement. There's no voices. Nobody says a word. So I disagree with you there, Armand, on that part of it. Now, as far as the publicity generated by CBS refusing to air the ad, I agree with you. MoveOn.org has managed to get an unexpected and inordinate amount of free publicity on this. I think a lot of people want to see the ad now just out of curiosity. But the reason MoveOn, to answer, I think you asked, why would MoveOn even try to put it on the Super Bowl? Very simple. The Super Bowl attracts something like 90 million viewers just in this country. And when you have that big of an audience, what are the 30-second spots in there, the 60-second spots in there? They're just the kind of money for 30 seconds, Armand, that you and I will never see in our lifetimes, just to run a 30-second spot. So what MoveOn was trying to do, obviously, was put it where it would be seen by the greatest number of people. And I think the people who advised MoveOn to try to buy 30 seconds on Super Bowl had it right. Now, if the ad were you know, loud and brutal like this program, you know, kicking ass and taking names like this program, accusing right-wingers of being right-wingers like this program, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked at all. People would have said, ah, shut up and sit down. But because of the way that ad was put together, that's the genius of it. I think a lot of people would have seen it and said, yeah, who will be paying for Bush's trillion-dollar tax cut?
La, and I replied, bah, bah. Then I remembered, electronic media creates reality. Electronic media creates.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A vast section of Lake Erie has run very short on oxygen, and that's bad news for the fish that live there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. For the past several summers, the cold bottom water in the center of Lake Erie has had so little oxygen that people refer to it as a dead zone. The lack of oxygen drives out fish and other aquatic animals. Scientists say part of the reason this has happened in Lake Erie has to do with some of its unique qualities, but they say the problems in Lake Erie should also serve as a warning sign for the other Great Lakes. Jeffrey Reuter directs the Ohio Sea Grant Program in the Stone Laboratory at Ohio State University. Reuter says a dead zone can occur when urban wastewater and fertilizer from farm fields carry too much phosphorus into the water. The phosphorus produces huge blooms of algae, and that starts a process that robs the cold bottom waters of oxygen during the summer. Reuter says the Lake Erie watershed is different from those around the other Great Lakes, and that means it receives more sediment and more phosphorus.
The watershed around the other Great Lakes are all dominated by forest ecosystems. The watershed around Lake Erie is dominated by an agricultural and an urban ecosystem. And we also receive more sediment than the other Great Lakes, and much of that sediment comes in with agricultural fertilizers attached.
Lake Erie is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, and so it's more vulnerable to the dead zone conditions. But Reuter says other conditions in Lake Erie contribute to this problem, and they are common around the Great Lakes Basin. They include rising temperatures, falling lake levels, and invasive species such as zebra mussels. Reuter is concerned that Lake Erie is showing symptoms of problems that have yet to develop in the other Great Lakes. He hopes the U.S. and Canada will invest in more research to avoid them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Spitfire is calling from Anaheim, California. Hey, Spitfire.
Hey. On the MoveOn.org ad, I think they made the wrong choice.
You do?
Yeah, definitely. I think they should have tried to run the funniest ad that they've got there. Remember, the Super Bowl ads are hilarious.
Right.
For the most part. And they have a really funny one that they do. And that should have been the one that they pushed to put on.
Hmm.
The other one seems like something that you would expect on a spot, you know, when Oprah Winfrey is on or something like that, you know. Something heartfelt like that. That's not going to fly with the Super Bowl crowd.
Well,
I think they should have run the really funny one because that would have been, you know, more in keeping with the venue.
Well, possibly so, but remember the contest was not to come up with the best ad for the Super Bowl. The contest was to come up with the best ad that depicts how the Bush crime family's massive tax cut for the wealthy, how it's, you know, and the deficit. And
well, yeah, and that ad, the funny one, focuses on the Patriot Act.
Right. Right.
For the
so,
most part. And also the deficit. You know, I mean, when the guy's buying the motorcycle, he just looks to the daughter and says, I'll take it, and she'll pay.
Right. Right.
You know?
But you know, I do believe sometimes the most effective way to get an idea across is with images and no words, because in the first place, words can be misunderstood. This ad's going to be run one time on the Super Bowl. Words can get misunderstood or not heard. This way, it's just children. I thought they made a good choice. I understand your point, but I think the ad that they picked was a good one, because it most of the people watching the Super Bowl work for a living. And the question on that screen at the end of the ad, guess who's going to pay for Bush's $1 trillion tax cut or whatever the hell it is, a $1 trillion budget deficit. A question like that, I think that's going to linger in somebody's mind for a longer period of time than maybe something a little more humorous. I really do. Although I think humor is a great way to get ideas across, but there are certain things I don't think that humor is applicable, simply because the enormity of the idea gets lost in the humor.
Well, you know,
that's just my opinion.
Yeah,
we welcome yours.
Well, okay. One of the things is that the spin is such, you know, from the controversy about the Hitler ads.
Mm-hmm.
You hear people say, "Oh, did you hear? MoveOn.org wasn't going to be able to air their ad on the Super Bowl,"
right.
And immediately people assume it's the Hitler ad.
Well,
they support the idea of it not being shown.
Right. We can thank the right wing in this country for that.
Exactly.
And the right wing media for publicizing it. But I think all things being considered, I think a MoveOn's goal will be met here, and that is to get out to first of all get something in front of the American public. Second, the publicity generated with CBS's refusal to run the ad during the Super Bowl, I think, like Armand said, works in the MoveOn's favor.
Oh, and, yes,
and I think a lot of people will switch over.
It also helps back up our position that the media
are whores.
Is backing the administration.
Our right-wing whores.
Yeah. On top of everything else, the thing that really gets me is that people are starting to look at the media differently in this country.
I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case. Hey, thanks, Spitfire.
Sure.
All right, sir. Take care. A couple of minutes ago, got this email from Alex. Dear Mike, I'm a 15-year-old male from the East Coast of Canada. I'm very politically motivated and interested in the affairs of the world and my neighbors to the south. I'm involved in a project at my high school called WARR, W-A-R-R, which stands for What About Rights and Resources? And I'm very concerned about our present state of the Americas. I'm very inspired and moved by Eric Bloomrich's politically motivated movies and was wondering what I can do to get involved and maybe even make a difference, even though I'm as Canadian as they get. Thanks. Yours truly, Alex Mitchell. Alex, you're already involved, dude. That's great. What a great letter. Not a misspelled word either, Kathy. Great sentence structure, too. Great sentence structure, Alex. I sound like my fourth grade English teacher who used to beat me to death if I had bad sentence structure. What can you do? I think you're already involved. I'd be interested, Alex, in your WARR project at high school. What about rights and resources? Your involvement in that is an indication that you're you're taking your concerns to a different level. 15 years old. It's up to you, 15-year-olds. I tell you. It always is, though, isn't it? It's always up to the younger kids. The other thing I think you can do, Alex, truly, don't ever. I don't know what's the voting age in Canada? Is it 18? I have no idea. Oh my God, I should know that. Don't ever let the neo-Nazis take over your country the way the neo-Nazis took over this country. Now, how to guard against that? I don't know. I am not familiar with the Canadian Constitution. I don't know how you're. I know you have a parliamentary form of government. I understand, but the intricacies of your government, I'm not familiar with. I don't know what your equivalent of the Supreme Court is. God, I sound like a total moron. I bet you Alex knows more about my country than I know about his. What do you want to bet? But what you need to do, Alex, is to make sure you stay as motivated as you are now and make sure your peers stay as motivated, and don't let the Nazis take over your country the way we did in the United States of America. We Democrats went to sleep, or we got into infighting, or we decided to go for the perfect at the expense of the good, and we put the noose around our own necks. Don't do what we Democrats did here in the United States, and make sure you vote. No, I'm serious. Just work to keep the Nazis out of your country, Alex. Ben is calling from Elgin, Illinois, webmaster at whiterosesociety.org and our bureau chief up there. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Mike. The thing that occurs to me about the move-on ad in the Super Bowl is, there's going to be a time in which we have voted Bush out of office and which we have put in our own Congress and our own Senate. And we have control of this country again. And at that point in time, I think whoever the FCC is run by needs to remember CBS.
Yeah, I think so, too. Not just CBS, but CBS would be a good starting point.
That's a great starting point. I'm saying that these people, you know, who are taking their short-term interest now had better understand that there is going to be a payback.
Mm-hmm. I think that's an excellent point. Excellent point. I just hope that we are strong enough to affect the payback. I really do. I hope we're strong enough to do it.
Well, you know, the one problem that we liberals and progressives have is that we are forgiving creatures. Unlike right wingers, we don't hold a grudge for months and years. And so my problem is, I think that by the time we have everything in place and we've got our nominees and in place and all the hearings are done, mm-hmm. and it becomes time to make policy, we may just simply have decided to say, oh, well, you know, that was then, this is now.
Yeah, I have to say I probably used to fit into that category no more. I hate these bastards so much, I am motivated until the end of my life. You know, I don't know how many years I have left. If I have 6 months left or 16 years or 25 years, I will hate these unconscionable bastards. I will do everything I can to overthrow them, to stop them. I despise them. And I used to be the kind of liberal that you're talking about. You know, get along, go along. Hey, what's happening here? Have a toke. Hey, you want to go hunting? Hey, man, what's up? What's up? And always thinking, well, things will work out. Things will work out. Not to say I didn't stay politically active and didn't vote, but along about 1997, when the assault on Bill Clinton reached a banshee-like pitch, and these right-wing scum, these Republican scum, really started to show what they are. That's when it started for me. And I hate them with a hatred and a fervor that is unlike anything I've ever had in my life. And I guess it's because they're doing it to my country, and I can't stand it. I can't stand it. So,
well, I have a promise to make to you that when this time comes and everyone starts trying to forget and forgive, WhiteRoseSociety.org is still going to be there, and we're going to be a thorn in their side.
Good for you. I wish I could say the same thing, but you never know about my little radio show. Thanks, Ben.
Take care.
All right, sir. I appreciate your call. Sling Blade? Is Sling Blade back? Is Carl back? Carl Childers from Sling Blade? Oh, my God. Hey, Carl. Welcome to the program. How you doing?
I didn't call to talk to Ab Wars or not, Mike.
You didn't?
But I'd like to make a brief statement if I could, and be glad to talk and answer for you. Would that be all right, Dan?
That would be okay, Carl, yeah. Okay.
Can you make sure you got that media filter running before I start, so does that sound good?
I've got it running, but you're pretty hard to filter sometimes.
All right, Dan. I reckon you're wanting to know how come I want to be the vice president, so I suppose I'll start at the front.
Yeah, I'd start right there. That's always best to start at the beginning. Yeah, go ahead.
I took the notion of running because it has been clearly displayed that the vice president is the one who has all the power, yep. But don't got to make so many appearances in the public.
Well, that's true with this group, yeah.
I'd like to commence in telling you as to why I'd be the proper one for the position.
Okay.
I'm the ultimate outsider, Mike.
You are that. you're the ultimate outsider. You betcha.
That's right. I grew up in the most humble beginnings. I wasn't fortunate enough to live in a car, even.
Yeah.
I grew up in a hole in the backyard eating potted meat, soda crackers, and French fry taters.
I hear you.
You know, I made some mistakes, and unlike the residents, I don't have others to do my dirty work for me.
Yeah, you do it yourself, don't you, Carl?
I take care of my own business.
Yeah, you do.
I took responsibility for what I done, but I'm a better man for it.
Yes, sir.
But unlike the resident, I read some, you know, or read the Bible, the book on Christmas, and how to be a carpenter.
Yeah, okay.
It's important because, you know, reading is the basics for all learning, and we must ask ourselves, Mike, under this administration, is our children learning?
Yes, Archie, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
I believe that it's important to find those children that are incarcerated and load them.
Yes, yes, I think so. I think you're right.
And you know, Malloy, I have enough moral character to know you ought not to be talking about the size and shape of your package.
That's true.
That's just commonsensical.
It is. It invites criticism.
That's right. And I might not be the most smartest man for the job, but I get great advice and advisors to whom I give good advice from.
Yes.
Great advisors whom I listen.
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you would, I mean.
You know,
I always get a little nervous when you call in, Carl. I hope you're not offended.
You don't have to worry about that.
All right. Thank you.
A few words off for the misleader now.
Uh-huh.
You know misleader?
Yes, I do.
He ought to be telling more of the truth.
He should.
When the misleader said he would create more jobs, he forgot to mention they would be in China and India.
I know. I've noticed that here recently, indeed.
And we should not be spending $87 billion to find out that Iraq is as big as California. We should be learning that in the schools.
We should, indeed.
You need to be fessing up and telling the American people who's leaking in the White House.
Yes, yes.
You know, Malloy, he accused Saddam of wanting to play hide-and-seek.
Uh-huh.
You know, he need to change the games himself and stop playing charades. And who wants to be a millionaire and Monopoly and battleship and rest?
Right.
He should learn a few new games like Sorry and Clue.
I hear you. I bet you could teach him a few of those games too, Carl.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I give him some credit for something he said in the debate that were true. He told Mr. Gore that he's not a nation builder, and I got to give it to him. He sure ain't.
He sure as hell isn't, is he? I mean, he's had two shots at it, and boy, he just keeps screwing up.
That's right.
Yeah, it is.
In closing with my statement, I'd like to take the opportunity to ask everybody to give me the chance to restore chaos in the White House.
Right. Okay.
Bring on the moron.
All right. So Vice President, it is, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Carl, thanks for making the announcement on this program. I think you already had made the announcement.
Well, this was why, though, Malloy, and why I'm the one.
Yeah.
And I got some endorsements, too.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I picked up John Deere.
John Deere.
Toro and Lawn Boy. So everybody should hop aboard the crazy train and just, right, you know, tell that Miss Kathy she ought not to laugh so hard. I don't want her having that baby yet.
I know. We'll tell her. I definitely will tell her. Kathy, Slingblade says to quit laughing. She shut up real quick, Carl.
Hey, I got a question about Rumsfeld.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, when he said he respected Bush's brain that other day?
Yeah.
You suppose he was talking about Karl Rove?
I think he was. I think that's it. Bush's brain would be Karl Rove. It would indeed. Well, Carl, listen, I want you to have a good weekend, okay? And don't do anything that'll get you excited, all right?
I try to stay calm.
I know you do, and that's best.
You have a fine show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Carl.
Good evening.
All right, sir. You take care. Whew. I realize that we only talk with Carl on the phone, but every time he calls in, I just get a little nervous. No, you, Kathy? Just a tad. I noticed you shut up with the laughing as soon as he said it, huh? Just a little, just a tad nervous. But I'll vote for him. You damn right. I wonder if Black & Decker is going to endorse him or provide him with some funding. Home Depot, maybe. Dan is calling from Richmond, California. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Mike. I have a movie recommendation for you.
All right.
I saw Canadian Bacon the other day, and it was...
That's a Michael Moore film, isn't it?
I don't know.
No, it's not. No,
no, but it was with John Candy.
John Candy is in it.
John Candy, yeah. And it was about making enemies with Canada to win support for the president. And they are talking about all these... weird little clues who make Canada seem the enemy, and they had an attack on one of the hydro plants near Canada that was American to make it seem like Canada was really attacking us.
Uh-huh.
And you should see that. It's really interesting how back then relates to now.
I wonder how long it'll be before the Bush crime family does to Canada what the Nazis did to Poland
Make it just like the movie you're talking about. Make it look like Canada commits some act of aggression against us, so we can invade them. With global warming, we're going to need the Canadian provinces in order to continue to be the breadbasket of the Western Hemisphere. So I just wonder how long it'll be.
And
listen, let me put you on hold. I'll come back and pick you up after this break because we have to take a quick break here, Dan.
Next time somebody laughs at you, you just tell them you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware, John Seip from United Marketing Force, Jay Brentlinger from Orban, and, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show, take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years, so join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
That one person can make a difference in somebody's life. Find the children of those who are incarcerated and love them.
You sick bastard. Kurd emailed in real quick. Canadian Bacon is a Michael Moore movie. I thought it was. I thought it was. Back to Dan in Richmond, California. Where were we, Dan?
I heard that your show is ending also.
You heard what?
That your show is ending.
Yeah, February 27th, if not sooner. That's when this network is going to be shut down or sold. I don't know what, but...
Well, that's a real bummer because I make CDs of your Bush audio, and I give them to my old liberal teachers.
Oh, great.
And they really love it because I really like your show because you actually show the audio and of how horrible this president is. And the way they do it in the news on TV, they show it like he's... really different, you know, than the way that you show
it. Sure, sure.
And you play the whole thing, and that's why it's different than the way they do it.
Well, the credit, you're absolutely right. We do that on this program. The credit goes to my producer, Kathy Bay, who is insists that the sound bites that we play are usually, sometimes there's some duplication, but she'll pick the ones that the network news is not going to play. Sometimes we hear our sound bites on NPR or someplace like that. And I'll tell you what, we've got some good ones coming up next hour. So we've got a break coming very quick here. Don't go away, Dan.
All right.
Because we got three or four good ones from today. And I feel sorry kind of for Kathy. She's watched or listened to everything this stupid man has said over the last 3 years. It's been very painful. I don't know how she...
Had a couple tumors or something like that.
I don't know how she survived, right? But she has a break coming, and that'll begin February 27th, I believe.
But when you leave your show, you put on the Internet the best of Bush in 2003. I really like that. If you could do that, something like that, of all your audio, the best of Bush of his presidency, that would be great.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Open your mic, Kathy. What were you about to say, Kathy?
It's in the gallery.
Oh, it's already up. It's in the gallery. Go to MikeMalloy.com and click on the gallery, and there's all kinds of sound in there.
When you end, just get all of it that you want on there. And I love your updates. And when I first listened to your show, I was really confused because he had that Christian man.
Oh, yeah.
Who was talking about gay sex or something like that.
And you thought I was just another right-wing freak.
Yeah.
I know. Well, that interview is in the gallery, too. And you can always go to whiterosesociety.org. Where there's a lot of stuff archived, but just stay tuned to MikeMalloy.com, and we'll let you know there where we're going to land. Dan, thanks. Got a boogie. Appreciate your call, sir. You have a nice evening.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An explosion at an arms dump that killed 7 U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan was an accident, authorities and militants fighting U.S. forces said on Friday. Thursday's blast near the town of Ghazni was one of the worst single blows to U.S. forces hunting al-Qaeda and Taliban in Afghanistan since their intervention in late 2001. A U.S. military spokesman said the incident was still under investigation. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said Thursday that people concerned about losing freedom to government anti-terrorism efforts should speak out. The Supreme Court is taking up several terror-related cases this spring, including challenges to the government detention of terror suspects without legal rights. Ginsburg, speaking to a group of women's rights lawyers, was asked if people's rights were in danger. She said on important issues like the balance between liberty and security, if the public doesn't care, then the security side is going to outweigh the other. Conservatives expressed anger in private as administration officials said George W. Bush now estimates that the new Medicare overhaul law will cost a third more than projected when Congress passed the legislation last year. Many conservatives say privately they were owed an explanation as to why the White House did not provide them with the figures before they voted. Conservatives said they felt browbeaten into backing the legislation, which passed the House in November by 5 votes after leaders held the roll call open nearly 3 hours while nailing down support. Parting company with many of his fellow Republicans, Senator John McCain said Thursday he wants an independent commission to take a sweeping look at recent intelligence failures. The White House has dismissed the proposal, saying the CIA is committed to reviewing the intelligence behind claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration also argues that the weapons search is not yet complete. In an interview with the Associated Press, McCain says he believes the public needs an assessment that won't be clouded by partisan division. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Firefighters in Shawnee, Oklahoma, peered into a crystal ball and found the cause for a sofa fire. Once the couch was extinguished, a firefighter reached into a hole burnt into the sofa and found a glass gazing ball. Soon, sunlight shining through the ball burned 2 holes in the legs of his pants. They then placed the ball on the grass, and within 30 seconds, the ground was smoking. They believe the ball was taken off a table and placed on the couch by the homeowner's grandchildren, which started the first fire. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York. Have a great weekend.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working. They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do. Roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer and everybody else cuts back.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Eight minutes past the hour. Welcome back. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Sue is calling from Rock Hill, New Jersey. Hey, Sue.
Hi. How are you?
Doing fine.
Good. I just wanted to call about that boy, Mike, that had that program, War.
Oh, the young...
name Mike, or he emailed.
Yeah, he emailed in from Canada.
Canada.
Yeah, it wasn't Mike. It was, let me see what his name was. Alex.
Alex.
Yeah.
Whatever. It would be very nice to find out more about what he's doing. I'm not sure how to do that. But I had a couple of other things I wanted to talk about.
All right.
One is the voting machine. I found this great company. I don't know if you've ever talked about them before. They're called Avante Technology, and they make some.
I don't think I have. No.
They've been getting a lot of coverage in the local news here in the Princeton area in New Jersey because they read an article, called the paper, and the paper just did a big editorial today. So anyway, I called up the company and just asked some questions, went to their webpage, which is, I think you should get in touch with these people.
Okay.
Maybe interview the woman because she's got a very good product, and I think we need to be lobbyists
can you,
for these voting machine companies, yes.
Can you send me an email address?
Sure.
Okay.
I could also give it to you now, but yeah, I could send it to you.
Yeah, do that, but it would be more effective for me. I mean, and do it because other people may like to write it down. But if you'll send it to me, just email it to MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net, and, yeah, we'll get in touch with them.
Great. Yeah. They were very nice. They have receipts and, you know, everything we need to have our votes counted.
What is their website address?
It's AITechnology.com.
.com. Okay.
Yeah, and the machine is called the Avante Vote Tracker 2.
Ah, so it's touchscreen voting that gives a paper receipt, paper trail.
It gives it does extra things, too. It's completely compliant with all the HAVA standards. Unfortunately, it counts the votes, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, that is a problem.
They've had a lot of problems trying to get this into the market, and they've been around for several years. So anyway, I think we need to, as people that care about having our votes counted, we need to definitely help this company because she said, you know, I said, you know, what if we got you a lot of orders?
Mm-hmm.
And she said she's ready and she would make them here in America.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think this is, you know, we need to start finding the solutions and, you know, presenting them to these people that won't make up their minds and make sure our votes count.
Good idea.
What we talk about will matter. And the other thing is I found this, I was poking around the web and I found, remember when Bush wanted to start a civics project for kids, National and Community Service, Corporation for National and Community Service?
Right. What happened to that?
Well, I was poking around and I found it, and they apparently he put a press release out January 9th, 2004, $3.2 million in funding for addressing homeland security concerns by engaging students in service learning activities in their schools and communities. Nice idea. But he's got these kids. Examples are, school crisis plans, preparedness kits, school safety audits and drills, all these things, and for 5 to 17-year-olds. Prepare these kids for disasters, terrorist acts, medical emergencies.
Well,
crazy. We need to be writing. Our kids need to be writing to each other, and I guess that's what I would like. That's what interested me in that kid that emailed.
Yeah, that's.
This is what we need to do.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's a good idea. All right, Sue. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
You take care. Appreciate you checking in. I was just thinking though when Sue was. Talking about that the disaster preparedness stuff. If you're over a certain age, what, over 50, you remember this from elementary school, right? The duck and cover stuff. You still have one of those duck and cover. Can you find that, Kathy? When I was in, oh God, starting what? Fifth grade, sixth grade. Where we were told that we could survive a nuclear bomb attack on Toledo, Ohio by getting under our desks. And that we could survive radiation, or what they used to call fallout, by just staying underground for a couple of days in our bomb shelter and then coming out. So we had disaster training back then, too.
Deedle-dum-dum, deedle-dum-dum. There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert.
He was.
When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do.
And?
He ducked and covered. Ducked and covered.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You. And you.
And you.
And you.
We had these film strips, and not film strips. They were actual 8-9 minute movies. And when we would go to the auditorium for films, A lot of propaganda. A lot of people don't remember the propaganda films that people my age were exposed to in elementary school and the public schools back in the early 50s. Oh, Jesus, it never stopped. Government propaganda films against the communists, films to teach us about personal hygiene, films about how to treat your parents, how to show up for dinner, for meals properly. It was an incredible effort by the government, federal government, to make sure that the 50s produced what corporate America wanted, and that was a steady stream of non-thinking, non-challenging, pro-American, anti-communist, anti-socialist, anti-democratic, anti-liberal, anti-everything except what the boss told you to do, worker. And the duck and cover stuff, that was to prepare us so that nuclear war would not be considered the beginning of the end of the human species, that nuclear war would be considered something that could be won, so that when psychopaths like General Curtis LeMay, who used to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in the late 50s, early 60s, and was a true, certifiable paranoid schizophrenic, when he would talk about, let's go ahead and send the nuclear bombs into the Soviet Union, when another certifiable psychopath, Douglas MacArthur, helped win World War II. He was also a psychopath. Sorry, but he was. When he suggested using nuclear bombs on North Korea and China, I mean, you know, we've had a crop, a steady stream of real psychopathic killers who Bush is just the latest incarnation of these thugs. Killers who had no problem in laying out programs and ideas and plans that would have annihilated the human species, and it's still going on. Did you hear the latest latest Bush thing? He wants to take away the oversight. Where is it? Oversight at nuclear reactors. Where in the hell is that? Since I'm here. Since we're talking about this, I've got to find this. Nuclear reactors is what he wants to do now. That it should be up to the nuclear industry. That there shouldn't be any oversight. And even Republicans like Jim Bunning, Republican right-wing Christian fundamentalist senator from Kentucky, is freaking out about this. Here it is. The Bush administration is moving to replace government safety standards at federal nuclear facilities with rules written by the contractors who build these things. This is after Congress directed the Energy Department to start fining the contractors for violations. But no. Is there anything that these bastards won't sell the American public's health and safety out for? That's a terrible sentence, but you understand what I'm trying to say here. The San Francisco Chronicle writes, long-established government minimum standards at the more than two dozen nuclear weapons plants and research labs around the nation would become unenforceable under this new proposal by the Bush crime family. Senator Jim Bunning, Republican of Kentucky, that Jim Bunning used to be, what was he, a pitcher, Kathy, center fielder? I don't know. He was a baseball player, but he's a religious freak. He's a right-wing, knuckle-dragging, fundamentalist, I-hate-evolution freak. But he's the author of the legislation in 2002 ordering the fines. Now, the rules have been on the books for years, but Bunning came up with the idea, well, let's fine them. He is now accusing his bed partner, George W. Bush, of distorting Congress's intent with a plan that Bunning says, quote, will likely decrease worker protection, unquote. Duh. It always gets me, right, when these right-wingers who have no concern, like Jim Bunning, no concern for the environment, no concern for their fellow human being, they're just snakes, thugs, and weasels. But for some reason, Bunning is raising an outcry against this. Maybe it's because there are nuclear power facilities, government nuclear power facilities in Kentucky, and he's trying to make his constituents think he's doing the job he was hired to do. Representative Ted Strickland, a Democrat from Ohio, said the decision about nuclear safety will be in the hands of the contractors. They will decide what protections are appropriate. It's the fox guarding the henhouse. No, Congressman Strickland, it's not. It's more of this murderous Bush crime family deciding that the American public comes second, and what comes first are the people who put this pissant in office, and that would be partly the nuclear power industry. Got me off on a tangent there. All that had to do with duck and cover, didn't it? But, yeah, so if you're over a certain age, I don't know. You didn't have duck and cover, did you? No, you're too young, Kathy. But I think you have to be just about over 50 to remember, maybe not, maybe 45, to remember the duck and cover stuff from school. What is this?
Authorities would have broadcast the following pre-recorded announcement.
Oh, my God. All right, quick break while I duck and cover. We'll be right back.
There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He ducked and covered, ducked and covered.
He did what we all must learn to do.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle does.
I view our nuclear arsenal as a deterrent. I'm interested in having an arsenal at my disposal.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Ah, 24 past the hour. Tara is calling from the Boston area. Hey, Tara.
Oh, hi, Mike. I will change the phone. Okay, because it will be better.
Okay, good.
I was using the cordless phone, which is not always the best.
It is. Well, you've got a good one now, Tara. Let her rip.
Yes, sure. I've been thinking of you recently because of course, of the problems with demographic nominations.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, I loved really what you said every time when you talk of particular candidates. And I liked very much what you said also about Howard Dean,
mm-hmm.
that he had a fire and that you liked him very much. I liked him and supported him emotionally, mentally, and intellectually very, very much. Some time ago, when I called you once, and many months ago,
mm-hmm.
I've been asking you a question, who would you support or recommend,
right.
And what you think? And at that time, it was really a few months ago, you mentioned, I asked a question about Kerry, because I'm from Massachusetts, Boston area.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I wasn't, you know, yet knowing much about Kerry in this particular sense of thinking of him.
Right.
And today, I've read a fantastic article in Counterpunch,
uh-huh.
Which is titled... wonderfully, it's old skeletons, the new closet.
Well, if I may, just remember, Tara, that Counterpunch is
yes.
Run by my my good friend. What's his name? And they hate all Democrats. They hate all Republicans. The two guys that put out Counterpunch, I love their rhetoric. I love the way they write.
Yes.
But they are old line socialists. They and I have nothing against socialism, but these guys are socialists / communist.
Uh-huh.
And Alexander Coburn is one of my favorite writers, always has been, but always will be. And I really do like what he says. I like his positions on the Middle East. I like his positions on this and that and this and that.
Yeah.
But please keep in mind when you read Alexander Coburn or his partner, I'm drawing a blank on his partner's name, but when you read these guys or read anything at Counterpunch,
yes.
You're dealing with real left-wingers, you know, not liberals. I'm a liberal. These guys are real left-wingers, and that's fine. That's fine. But I think you should consider that if you weren't already aware of that, Tara.
No, I really wasn't thinking.
Yeah, there's extreme.
Yes, yes.
They would make Alexander Putin look like a liberal.
Uh-huh. I see. Look, but Mike, please read this article.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I love Counterpunch.
It's fantastic, and, you know, it doesn't come... it's not written by any Counterpunch writer.
Uh-huh.
It's written by somebody who created his web page,
mm-hmm.
and who I think that his name sounds a little bit Eastern,
uh-huh.
by American, with some... Eastern spelling, I think.
Uh-huh.
His last name. Anyway, it's fantastic, and it's not written by anybody from there.
Well, I'll check it out.
Yes,
I'll check it out.
So, it's not, you know, the author.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, the two guys who put the site together, Jeffrey St. Clair, his name finally popped up, and Alexander Coburn, the guy you're referring to, I think, is Sam Husseini.
Yes.
And Sam Husseini's a good guy, too. He's the head of Institute for Public Accuracy. Let me put you on hold. I'll come right back.
Yes.
We have to take a break here very quickly. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Well, it's the land of the brave, home of the free. That's a funny thing about democracy. A vote for me.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A vast section of Lake Erie has run very short on oxygen, and that's bad news for the fish that live there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. For the past several summers, the cold bottom water in the center of Lake Erie has had so little oxygen that people refer to it as a dead zone. The lack of oxygen drives out fish and other aquatic animals. Scientists say part of the reason this has happened in Lake Erie has to do with some of its unique qualities. But they say the problems in Lake Erie should also serve as a warning sign for the other Great Lakes. Jeffrey Reuter directs the Ohio Sea Grant Program in the Stone Laboratory at Ohio State University. Reuter says a dead zone can occur when urban wastewater and fertilizer from farm fields carry too much phosphorus into the water. The phosphorus produces huge blooms of algae, and that starts a process that robs the cold bottom waters of oxygen during the summer. Reuter says the Lake Erie watershed is different from those around the other Great Lakes, and that means it receives more sediment and more phosphorus.
The watershed around the other Great Lakes are all dominated by forest ecosystems. The watershed around Lake Erie is dominated by an agricultural and an urban ecosystem. And we also receive more sediment than the other Great Lakes, and much of that sediment comes in with agricultural fertilizers attached.
Lake Erie is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, and so it's more vulnerable to the dead zone conditions. But Reuter says other conditions in Lake Erie contribute to this problem, and they are common around the Great Lakes Basin. They include rising temperatures, falling lake levels, and invasive species such as zebra mussels. Reuter is concerned that Lake Erie is showing symptoms of problems that have yet to develop in the other Great Lakes. He hopes the U.S. and Canada will invest in more research to avoid them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
It's coming through a hole in the air.
27 before the hour. We are talking with Tara, who has called in from... I always want to say you've called in from Kiev or Moscow or St. Petersburg, but you actually live in the Boston area, right?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you told us one time that you are Russian, yes?
I am not Russian.
Oh, you're
I never
not?
Told you so.
I thought you did.
I am a mixture of different European nations.
Oh, I thought you were Russian.
No, I am not.
Oh.
I may sound to you Russian, but it's only for people who really do not know anything about accents.
Oh, okay. Well,
I am half Polish, half French, and a little bit of Italian.
Okay. Well, you sound very Russian anyway.
No, I don't, because...
You don't think you sound Russian?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh.
Because I know how Russians sound here in this country.
Yeah.
I've been teaching English in Boston Language Institute.
Uh-huh.
And it's quite natural, but I'm asked this question very often.
Oh, so it's not just me then?
No, it's not just
me. Oh, good. Thank God for that.
No, it's American knowledge of accents.
Yeah. I never would have guessed you were Italian.
Look, I am not Italian. I am a mixture.
Mixture.
It's Polish, French, and Italian, partially.
Okay. All right, Tara.
Okay.
All right.
I am just saying so because I.
The article that you were talking about at Alexander Coburn and Jeffrey St. Clair's site is by Sam Husseini, who I do respect a great deal. He's the one that has the Institute for Public Accuracy. He is their media director or whatever there.
Mike, are you absolutely sure that this was written by him?
Yes, I'm absolutely sure. It says by Sam Husseini.
Okay. Yes, of course.
I went to the website and I'm looking at it. Now, what he's talking about is very true. He's talking about John Kerry's support for the war. But so many of these candidates supported the war. And the only thing I can say is this, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for them.
Right.
But the fact is, everybody was lied to, apparently. Everybody was told that the Iraqis had the power to annihilate us. Most of us, with the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk, did not believe it. But apparently Kerry, and apparently this one, and apparently that one, Gephardt, and practically everybody in Congress, both the House and the Senate, believed it, with a few exceptions. Dennis Kucinich didn't believe it. The Progressive Caucus in the House, of which Dennis Kucinich, I believe, is the co-chair, they didn't believe it. But Kerry apparently did, and that's what Sam Husseini's writing about.
Well, he's also, giving a little different, additional comments. Not necessarily to read it literally, but it's implied there.
That what? What's implied?
In Kerry's characteristic. I've read it just very shortly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand what you were saying there, Tara. What is implied?
That he's implying how Kerry is doing the wrong job.
Well, and he has a good argument. Sam Husseini makes a good argument. But that doesn't make Kerry any different from Edwards or any different from Gephardt or any different from what's his name, Lieberman. All of these people supported what they thought, I guess, was valid intelligence data. Now, you and I can take great exception to that and say, how could they have been so fooled when people like Dennis Kucinich and maybe 20 or 30 million of us Americans understood from the beginning that George Bush was lying through his teeth, and so is everybody in his administration. But I think that's what Husseini is saying, is that Kerry is not... Kerry does not have the moral ground to stand on now and complain about Bush's position because it's the same as Kerry's was when the war started.
Yes, it's obvious.
And that's valid. That's a valid point that Sam Husseini is making, yes.
Yes, I think that this is fantastic, especially in the light of his recent critique of Howard Dean.
Right, exactly.
Which I couldn't stand. It was nasty.
I hear you loud and clear. Tara, got to move on. Thank you, dear. I appreciate you checking in. Sorry if I referred to...
okay, I just want to say
sounded like a Russian accent.
Thing.
Yeah, quickly.
Yes. Listen, I think Americans have to be careful with telling people what country they are from.
No, wait, Tara, let's not you and I get into a fight here. I didn't say what country, I don't think I said, did I say what country? I said you had a Russian.
That I sound like from Russia.
Right, you sound like from Russia.
I don't know what kind of feelings it brings in me.
Okay, well, I'm very sorry. I apologize. Tara, thank you, appreciate your call. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry! Beat me! Flay me! Make me eat bad borscht! I'm sorry! To me, sounded Russian! I had three people email in, Tara, said, this woman with Slavic accent, she sounds very interesting, would very much like to talk with her. You know, what am I going to do, dear? All right, I'm a dumbass American. I mean, I don't know. That sounds to me like Russian accent. Maybe I've seen too many movies. I don't know. It doesn't sound French. It doesn't sound Italian. But let's not get into a fight. I appreciate you checking in. Oi. Speaking of Carrie, David in South Carolina sent this in to me. See, it's a story from CNN. Bush plans to attack Kerry for Kerry's, quote, weak record, end quote, on defense. David writes, a Vietnam vet versus a deserter, and Bush actually polls higher than Kerry on security issues. Well, David, thanks for the article. And yeah, it's at CNN.com. All politics, you can find it if you want to find it. Who's this guy, Melman? Wasn't he a character on Letterman? Dave Melman? Wasn't there a guy early on?
Larry Bud Melman,
right? Well, apparently somebody, the head of Bush's reelection campaign, Ken Melman, was speaking at Republican National Committee's winter meeting and said that Kerry's voting record shows a weakness on national security issues. See what they do to you? This is what these sons of bitches did to a triple amputee in Vietnam vet here in Georgia, Max Cleland, when they got him out of office and put in a cowardly, pasty-faced dog named Saxby Chambliss. They rely on the fact that Americans are stupid. So now they're saying that John Kerry is not strong on defense when Kerry's position was the same as Bush's. You know, the Iraqis have weapons of mass destruction. We have to go kill them all or something like that. I hate these people. Have I mentioned tonight yet how much I hate these people? So now it looks like, and somebody in Kerry's camp, and now Kerry's campaign is saying, oh, God, well, okay, we're ready for that. We'll kick his ass on it. No, guys, you don't understand, Mr. Kerry, Senator. Talk to your buddy, your former cohort in the Senate, Max Cleland, and ask Max Cleland, who left both legs and an arm in Vietnam. Senator Kerry, you didn't leave any limbs in Vietnam. Max Cleland did, and Max Cleland was defeated by a chicken hawk coward named Saxby Chambliss, and the way they defeated him, aside from jiggering the voting machines, the way they defeated him was to convince these right-wing fundamentalist Christian freaks here in Georgia that Saxby Chambliss had a better record than on national defense than a guy who left three limbs in Vietnam. So I'm warning you, Senator. These people will cut your throat. They will cut your throat. By the time this campaign is over, they'll have 20 million Americans, Senator, believing that you're a coward, and believing they'll have 60 million believing that George Bush is a war hero. Watch your back, Senator. I'm not Russian. Okay, sorry. From Ruth. Hi, Mike. I recently had a National Guardsman from our town in my office to have me scan and send a letter from his mother's doctor to his commander in Kuwait. He was home on leave and did not want to go back. His mother is quite ill and needs 24-hour attention. However, he has also served 6 months in Wisconsin and had been in Kuwait and Iraq since last summer. He joined the Guard to do the right thing after September 11th and to be ready for what was next here in the USA and get a little more income to boot. Our Guardsmen have served in one other state also, but this soldier hadn't joined yet. Over the last 2.5 years, some have been home for a few months only. He told me he was getting divorced, as were many other guardsmen over there with him, and it has a lot to do with not being home. He's 42. He's too old and undertrained for this. He's depressed, and most of the others serving with him are also. They know that there are no jobs waiting for them when they come back. They had choice words for the commander-in-chief and will not be voting for him. Neither will his father, a Korean vet. I scanned and emailed what he wanted me to. He had his 5-year-old daughter with him, and his 10-year-old son was in school. I told him I would pray for him. He told me he'd call if he got to stay, and otherwise I'd know he was over there. He has not called. This man and many more need to come home. They're old, tired, and don't get why this is happening to them. It's from Ruth, I think somewhere in Ohio. Yeah. Stephen is calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Stephen. Hey, Stephen. Okay, let me put Stephen back on hold if Stephen is there. Who else we got here? All right. Marcelo. Marcelo is calling from Santa Barbara. Hey, Marcelo.
Hey, Mike.
You sound Russian. No, never mind.
Forget about that, man. It's too much controversy.
Yeah, yeah, right. I got you.
You know, it's words are just words. You know, it's just what you make of them that's what matters.
That's very true.
People are too sensitive about that.
I know. Okay. So what's up?
Well, anyway, I was thinking about them. If the American people don't believe in facts, and that's a fact, why don't we just make up stuff? Why don't we just play dirty? Let's go down to the level the Republicans are in and go even further down.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm thinking about posting in California, I'm posting big banners saying, KKK support George Bush. That might help.
It might indeed.
No, why not? I mean, what do we have to lose? We lost our freedom.
Yeah.
We lost everything. All right. So, let's just say that George Bush is gay. It matters, but then doesn't matter. Let's say that John Ashcroft has orgies with a bisexual man. What else can we make up? Let's make up stuff. Make up everything. Who cares? I mean, it's our country.
Well, yeah, but isn't that putting an awful heavy trip on gay people by saying that the worst thing about George Bush is he's gay? Gosh, no. Marcelo, I mean, where are you coming from, dude?
Oh, I love gay people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love gay people. Some of my best friends are Negro. I mean, gay. I mean, Jew. Something.
I'm sorry, Mike.
You got to come up with something better than that, Marcelo. Come on, man.
No, it's bad for the Republicans with gay people. I don't have anything against gay people.
Okay, well, come up with something that he likes to have sex with alligators. You know, I don't know, or he likes to kill puppies.
He raped someone.
Or in his off hours, he's I don't know what. What would be bad? What would be bad?
Oh, for Republicans? I'm trying to think something that's better.
I know. In his off hours, he reads books on evolution.
Oh, that ought to do it.
Yeah, all right. No, I understand what you're saying. Because this is a homophobic nation, because this is a racist nation, because this is an anti-Semitic nation, because this is an anti-Arab nation, sure. And because all Republicans are cowards, liars, sneaks, and terrified of gays, Jews, Arabs, Latinos, it doesn't make any difference. They used to be terrified of me because I'm only predominantly white, because I have a lot of Italian in me. No Russian, a lot of Italian. Right? Right? So
yeah.
I take your point. I was just getting in your case there a little bit.
I want to apologize if I offended any gay people. I totally support the gay movement and everything.
I'm sure you do, Marcel.
That wasn't my intention.
I'm sure you do. All right. Is that it, Marcelo? In other words, what you're saying, the Democrats need to play dirty.
Yeah, the Democrats need to play dirty. I mean, this is just a suggestion.
A lot of Democrats don't know how to do that. We just had a caller who said, Democrats historically are forgiving and okay, so you slap me in the face. Here, let me turn the other cheek. They're kind of Christ-like. Democrats are. They're decent people. And
you're too nice.
You're too nice is a good way to put it. Yeah, well, I agree with you. It's time to get vicious, hateful. I don't care what it takes.
Kick ass
is good too. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, Marcelo, got a boogie. You sure you're not Russian?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right.
I'm Brazilian, man.
Brazilian?
Yes.
Do you speak Portuguese?
Yes, I do, sir.
I don't understand. Why is Portuguese different from Spanish? Y'all share the same Iberian Peninsula. I'm sorry. Don't get angry at me now. It's like saying...
No, of course not.
Okay, but see, Canadians and Americans speak the same language. Why don't... they speak some French there, too. Why don't Portuguese speak Spanish or Spanish speak Portuguese?
Oh, that's very simple, Mike. The Brazil was colonized by Portuguese.
Yeah, but no, I'm not Brazil. I'm talking about Portugal itself. That butts right up against Spain. Why didn't they speak Spanish like the Spanish do, or something?
You got me. I have no idea.
Okay.
I think those countries are so separate by culture. You know, they make up their own language,
because they
have borders, the language tend to be a little like one. But that's very interesting because Portuguese speaking people can understand almost every word of Spanish,
yeah.
But Spanish speakers
can't understand Portuguese.
Portuguese.
I know. It's one of the mysteries there. Marcelo, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Always. I hope to talk to you before you go.
Okay. You will indeed. You have a nice evening, sir.
Right in the Führer space, not to love the Führer. He's a great disgrace, Soviet.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for
your risk-free trial of UltraLipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chops or chow mein, young one, two for when you.
Show. Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 9-1-1.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
5 before the hour, Howlin' Wolf, who listens in Fort Wayne, Indiana, regarding the charges against Kerry, he writes in, Mike, I would continue to notify the American public just whose watch did 9/11 happen on. Why? Why do people not respond to this? The most sophisticated military in the world gets caught with their pants down. Never, never will I stop believing that these insolent bastards engineered the whole damn thing. Kerry, soft on defense. All capital letters there. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Ron. I don't know anymore. I was going to say I don't think the charges against Gephardt or Kerry or Edwards or any of these people, even Lieberman, that somehow they were out of line in voting for the Iraq resolution. What am I trying to say? It's getting harder and harder for me to hold that against them because they were lied to. And every time I start thinking that, I think to myself, wait a second. Wait a minute, Malloy. You know, you're not a senator. You're not a representative. You don't have friends on the Senate Intelligence Committees or House Intelligence Committee. You don't have friends over in Langley in the CIA. And yet you, Mike Malloy, and 99.7% of your listeners all came to the same conclusion that it was utter bullshit, utter lies that was being put out there. Ooh, that was close, wasn't it, Kathy? Utter lies that were being put out there, and now. Now we have 500 plus Americans dead, thousands of Iraqis dead. Bush has gotten us into two wars, neither of which are winnable. And now it looks like he's going to start us into a third war against Pakistan. These people are murderous thug killers. They've got to be removed from office. And Howlin' Wolf, you're right. There's no point in laughing about John Kerry or anybody being soft on defense. That's the ploy that they have used, they being the flying monkey right, have used against Democrats. And it never fails to amaze me once again, the idiocy, the ignorance, I should say, of the American public. Democrats go serve their country. Democrats go into combat. Democrats put on the uniform. Democrats fight when necessary and sometimes not when necessary. Republicans hide. They have carbuncles on their asses. They have bad knees. They have mental disorders. They teach business classes. They do anything to avoid military service. And yet somehow the brain-dead, willfully ignorant American public believes that Republicans are strong on defense. Oh, Jesus, I get sick of it.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An explosion at an arms dump that killed 7 U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan was an accident, authorities and militants fighting U.S. forces said on Friday. Thursday's blast near the town of Ghazni was one of the worst single blows to U.S. forces hunting al-Qaeda and Taliban in Afghanistan since their intervention in late 2001. A U.S. military spokesman said the incident was still under investigation. Conservatives expressed anger in private as administration officials said George W. Bush now estimates that the new Medicare overhaul law will cost a third more than projected when Congress passed the legislation last year. Many conservatives say privately they were owed an explanation as to why the White House did not provide them with the figures before they voted. Conservatives said they felt browbeaten into backing the legislation, which passed the House in November by 5 votes after leaders held the roll call open nearly 3 hours while nailing down support. Parting company with many of his fellow Republicans, Senator John McCain said Thursday he wants an independent commission to take a sweeping look at recent intelligence failures. The White House has dismissed the proposal, saying the CIA is committed to reviewing the intelligence behind claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The Bush administration also argues that the weapons search is not yet complete. In an interview with the Associated Press, McCain says he believes the public needs an assessment that won't be clouded by partisan division. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said Thursday that people concerned about losing freedom to government anti-terrorism efforts should speak out. The Supreme Court is taking up several terror-related cases this spring, including challenges to the government detention of terror suspects without legal rights. Ginsburg, speaking to a group of women's rights lawyers, was asked if people's rights were in danger. She said on important issues like the balance between liberty and security, if the public doesn't care, then the security side is going to outweigh the other. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
The man accused of bilking Cincinnati out of $184,000 finally was busted by a woman in New York City who did some background research before going out on a date with him. Investigators have been looking for LaShawn Pettis Brown for about a year in connection with a failed theater project. Pettis Brown's prospective date ran his name through a Google internet search engine and found an FBI warrant for his arrest. The woman called the FBI and told agents she was meeting Pettis Brown at an Applebee's restaurant on Long Island. The man was arrested when he arrived. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have wonderful news for you. George W.'s latest tax cuts are working. They're now being credited with having produced a bonanza of consumer buying in the recent holiday season. What? You say you didn't get enough of a tax cut even to notice it, much less enjoy a bonanza of consumerism? You say that job losses and low wages actually force your family to cut back on holiday spending? You say that sales clerks at stores where you shop were complaining about slow and low sales? Well, bucko, that's because you don't shop at the right places. While the overall merchant scene was pretty grinchy this season, with such outfits as Walmart and Target showing disappointing results, things were a lot merrier at your high-end stores. Neiman Marcus, Tiffany, and Saks Fifth Avenue were among the purveyors of luxury goods that enjoyed booming sales to the Cadillac and Hummer crowd. And why not, dears? After all, this is the crowd that took the bulk of Bush's tax giveaways. While a typical family might have gotten a $600 tax cut if they were lucky, the millionaire families averaged $93,000 each in cuts. That'll buy a lot of baubles and gewgaws. This is why the CEO of Neiman Marcus exulted that holiday shoppers in his swank stores, quote, prove that luxury is alive. Indeed, sales of such stocking stuffers as $5,000 to $10,000 watches were up 16% this season over last. There were similar jumps in diamonds, gold, and cashmere goods, and Neiman reported that sales of Chanel, Prada, and Gucci handbags were absolutely miraculous. Actually, there's nothing miraculous about it. When the president takes cold cash out of the public treasury and hands it to the high rollers, they do what the high rollers do. Roll out the Escalade and go to Neiman's. This is Jim Hightower saying, the holiday shopping results offer a perfect picture of Bush's policies. The rich get richer and everybody else cuts back.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doing. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. Somebody sent me an email here. Not somebody, God, I hate to do that. Doug sent me an email And he says, Mike, I just got home, had an idea. How about you recap the major news in the third hour for people just tuning in? That'd be great, and hopefully you can keep doing it for years to come. Thanks, Doug. Well, yeah, but think about the people who've been, you know, listening, hanging with me. I assume some people hang with me for the whole 3 hours. There are very few programs that I listen to. I've had marriages that didn't last 3 hours. It's a good idea, Doug. I just don't quite know how to do it because the program is this program is kind of spontaneous. We usually have a list of topics that I think we're going to cover, but invariably we get sidetracked, which is a good thing because the sidetracking comes from folks who call the program and have something better to talk about than I had scheduled. So we just kind of are all over the place. I wish I could do it, Doug. I really do, Doug. And thanks for the wishes about what happens to this program ultimately. Okay. Stephen is calling from Cleveland. Did I put you on hold? Stephen?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Did I put you on hold?
Can you put me on hold? Sure.
No. Never mind. Stephen, welcome to the program.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I had a couple of things I want to talk about. Last week I was listening to one of your shows, and you did mention that the Republicans are and the NRA are looking to pass some law that says that they have to throw the records out after one day.
Yeah, the purchase records. It's part of the Brady Bill, I believe. That's what Republicans are trying to do. In other words, Republicans are trying to make it as difficult as possible for law enforcement and trying as best they can to align themselves with criminals. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm calling it, I'm a little bit confused about this. I guess it's because I'm kind of split between the parties. Being from Dennis Kucinich country, myself in Cleveland, I'm definitely supporting him.
Right.
But I just look at the Republican Party, and with all the craziness since 9/11, I cannot believe that they would support it. I almost feel like it's almost a subterfuge where they're trying to create a diversion to make Republicans think they support guns when in reality, when push comes to shove, they're going to take the rights away.
Well, I think you have just hit a bullseye there. I said that about a year ago when the USA Patriot Act, or a year and a half ago, when the details of that horrible piece of legislation, that Nazi legislation, were made public. And I said, you know, the right-wingers out here in crazy land, which is the United States, are not going to say anything about this until the Second Amendment is tampered with.
Right.
We've had restrictions on the First, Fourth, Fifth, Eighth, Tenth, Twelfth, and 14th. And you know, the usual militia brain-dead types have not said anything yet. But when it comes, well, some of them are starting to. But when it comes to the Second Amendment, then they're going to raise hell. So you may be right. The Republicans may be doing this simply to give themselves cover. There's not a fascist out there. Remember what the right wingers used to love to tell us, that when Hitler came to power, the first thing he did was take away the guns from. He disarmed the population. That's exactly since Bush and Cheney and the rest of these people are neo Nazis. That's exactly what they have in mind. But they have to do it differently from the way Hitler did it, and that's what they're working on. I believe you're right. I honestly, you've hit on something here, Stephen.
Well, I'm going to touch on another subject since we're on that is. I don't understand what is wrong with the American people. I mean, I go out in public a lot of times and talk to people about what our government's doing and the party. What is it ultimately going to take, Mike, to get people out of their sleep, their pathetic their apathy, to get out of this? Because it seems like as long as they got the Britney Spears, as long as they got their game shows and their Super Bowl, they just don't give a damn.
I don't have an answer to that anymore. People older than me will tell you that one time what it took was the stock market crash and then the depression and starvation and 25% unemployment rate and global wars and nuclear threats. And I don't know what it's going to take this time. I really don't. We are on the verge of losing our form of government. We're on the verge of losing the democratic republic that this country is. We're right on the verge of losing it. Now, what keeps me going is the hope, and maybe it's a realization, that the American public can be pushed and pushed and pushed so far, and then Then, and this might answer your question, they snap back and say, wait a second, these fill-in-the-blanks are trying to take this country to fill-in-the-blank, and I'm not going to let it happen. So I'm hoping that that's the case this time, that people will finally realize what Bush is doing. Now, what that requires is some cooperation from national media, and I don't know if we're going to get that. I hope we do.
No, the mainstream media, that's another bone, a big problem, is that the Internet is a wonderful technology, but I feel that because the fact that it's throwing the media in a tailspin, that there's almost going to be legislation to ban free speech on the Internet, because right now people are still very comfortable, and of course us minority have the Internet to turn to, but eventually I think there's going to be legislation to ban the Internet. And one rumor I heard, of course this is just right now just someone's speculation, is that the next terrorist attack will be an Internet-based one, and then of course that will be the excuse to turn the Internet off.
Well, I don't think banning the Internet, first of all, that's not possible. That's like saying banning radio. It can't be done. Controlling or censoring, I think, yes. I think these neo-Nazi religious thugs like Ashcroft and Cheney and Rumsfeld and the rest of these people, I think they understand the latent power of the Internet to resist or to, if this country does become militarized by the Bush crime family, the Internet, just like radio in Czechoslovakia or Yugoslavia during World War II, the little radio transmitters and receivers that the partisans used in order to fight against first the Nazis and then against the communists. Our version of that is the Internet. So there's no way to shut it off. It can't be done. The Internet is. It can't be ended any more than radio can be ended.
Right.
So I think there will be an attempt, strong attempt, blatant attempt, to censor or control or own the Internet. You know, radio... thank God for shortwave, thank God for a non-commercial broadcast, but radio has almost been turned into one huge whorehouse by companies like Clear Channel, by companies like ABC, by companies like Viacom. The Internet, there will be an effort to turn the Internet into a huge whorehouse, which has already afoot. But I don't think it can be ever completely shut down. You can't uninvent something like the Internet. You can't do it.
But one thing I will say about, now that you mentioned like Clear Channel and stuff, that Art Bell show, all he does is he never exposes the New World Order like Alex Jones does on PrisonPlanet.com. He always has these like New Age gurus that talk about like alien feces from the planet Volco. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like, this is what passes for, we are talking about conspiracies. We're talking about the paranormal. It's like, this is garbage.
Yeah, I hear you.
But have you ever heard of Alex Jones?
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with the program.
Okay, well, I was going to say there are some, he's done several videos. I haven't seen them, but I've read the reviews on him, and he does one on 9/11. And there's some interesting stuff, but I try to kind of be diverse. And when I'm on the Internet, I listen to your show quite a bit, though. And one other question before I go, why is it, Mike, that you have so much faith in the democratic process? Do you really think we can salvage the system we have?
Yes. I do. I have faith in the democratic process because of all the processes that I have seen historically as human beings try self-government. The only one that ever made any sense to me at all is the so-called democratic process. Anything else to me, totalitarianism, authoritarianism, even socialism, all the isms, the only one to me that makes sense, has a heart and a soul, and some strong rules that have to be followed. In other words, it has a head as well as a heart and a soul, has been what the framers of this country put together 200-some years ago. I genuinely believe that. And I can't let go of my basic faith in our system.
Right.
There are real monsters who have perverted our system. Historically, it's happened several times. But this group that's in power now is probably the most egregious, probably the worst. But I've got to hold on to that hope, and I think other people do that do also. That was, I think, the genius of the framers. They created something here that would take a tremendous amount of effort to stop, a tremendous amount of power to stop, because what the framers relied on, I believe, was the was human nature, the desire towards self-government, not the desire to be dictated to by a George Bush or an Adolf Hitler or a Joe Stalin or a King George.
Okay. Well, I was going to say about the Democrats, though.
Okay, well, listen, I've got a boogie here.
All right, you take it easy. Thanks a lot.
All right, Stephen, I appreciate your call. Thanks, thanks for checking in. Don't you believe in that democratic process, Truth Seeker? And by that, I think what he meant was that what we have developed in this country. What we inherited in this country in terms of what the framers put together, the idea. What Tocqueville saw when he came to this country 180 years ago or whenever it was. When did Alexis de Tocqueville come here, Kathy? Come on, you're the college-educated one. But what he saw, the great experiment self-government that was going on in the United States, I think what he witnessed and what he wrote about still holds true. And I've got to maintain that faith, because as soon as I lose that faith, at that moment is when I pack my bags, and I don't live in a vacuum. I am married. My wife would feel the same way, I know, because I work with her every night. She would pack her bag, and I'd have to tell my adult children and their children, we're leaving the country. If you had any brains, you'd come with us.
And good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds.
pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday. For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. A lot of folks email me today either upset or pretending to be upset about this story that Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair are among the nominees for the Nobel Peace Prize in 2004. You know, that it doesn't mean anything, okay? There's a deadline this Sunday for nominations. Do you know who can be nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize? Anyone. Anybody. You can only be nominated by, members of the world's parliaments. All the world's parliaments, each individual member can nominate somebody. University professors, everybody, anyone who's a professor from law to theology, former winners of the Nobel Peace Prize, committee members. There are a lot of right-wingers on Nobel committee. The guy who keeps nominating Bush is this guy, Jan Simonsen, who is described by Reuters news agency as a right-wing member of Norway's parliament. but, you know, you folks got to relax. Guess who else was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, okay? Adolf Hitler, Slobodan Milosevic. It doesn't mean anything. The only thing that means anything is how it's voted. Now, you remember, was it last year, Kathy, that Jimmy Carter was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize as a kick, a deliberate kick by the Nobel Committee right into George Bush's ugly face, you know, to let George Bush know that a peacemaker like Carter, who runs the Carter Center here in Atlanta, who conflict resolution, that's what they mean by the Nobel Peace Prize. Tony Blair and George Bush are as much deserving of the Nobel Peace Prize as... Quick, think of something. I can't think of anything. They simply are not. But there is a massive difference, folks, between a nomination and getting the prize. Remember, anybody can be nominated. You can be nominated. If you know somebody who is a college professor, they may nominate you. If you know somebody who's a member of parliament, which I guess would include the U.S. Congress, both houses, they can nominate you. It doesn't mean anything. Nothing. So, now, does it mean that you and I get a lump in our throat and bowel spasms when we see that some punk thug killer warmonger like George Bush has been nominated by somebody? Yes, of course it does. But just consider the source. You know, the same guy keeps nominating Bush, this right-wing freak from Norway's parliament. and it ain't ever going to happen. Now, this is for 2003 or 2004? Carter won in 2002. Who won last year? Who won in 2003? I don't either. I have no idea. Somebody email it to me from our vast research department. Speaking of Bush, I don't guess we have enough time to do this now, but as soon as we come back after this quick break, we've got three sound bites for you here. I want you to hear Bush speaking to reporters after meeting with his economic advisors today, two comments. And then this little brain-dead moron, Scott McClellan, at the White House press briefing today. We want you to hear these because Bush went yesterday to New Hampshire to talk about his economic record, how wonderful it is. So we'll have these for you as soon as we come back. If you're on hold, stick around. I'm going to get your phone call tonight. Just hang with me. I'm Mike Malloy.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A vast section of Lake Erie has run very short on oxygen, and that's bad news for the fish that live there. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. For the past several summers, the cold bottom water in the center of Lake Erie has had so little oxygen that people referred to it as a dead zone. The lack of oxygen drives out fish and other aquatic animals. Scientists say part of the reason this has happened in Lake Erie has to do with some of its unique qualities. But they say the problems in Lake Erie should also serve as a warning sign for the other Great Lakes. Jeffrey Reuter directs the Ohio Sea Grant Program in the Stone Laboratory at Ohio State University. Reuter says a dead zone can occur when urban wastewater and fertilizer from farm fields carry too much phosphorus into the water. The phosphorus produces huge blooms of algae, and that starts a process that robs the cold bottom waters of oxygen during the summer. Reuter says the Lake Erie watershed is different from those around the other Great Lakes, and that means it receives more sediment and more phosphorus.
The watershed around the other Great Lakes are all dominated by forest ecosystems. The watershed around Lake Erie is dominated by an agricultural and an urban ecosystem. And we also receive more sediment than the other Great Lakes, and much of that sediment comes in with agricultural fertilizers attached.
Lake Erie is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, and so it's more vulnerable to the dead zone conditions. But Reuters says other conditions in Lake Erie contribute to this problem, and they are common around the Great Lakes Basin. They include rising temperatures, falling lake levels, and invasive species such as zebra mussels. Reuters is concerned that Lake Erie is showing symptoms of problems that have yet to develop in the other Great Lakes. He hopes the U.S. and Canada will invest in more research to avoid them. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, yes. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, Robert emailed in for me. I knew somebody would. Shirin Ebadi, the Iranian activist for human rights, won the Nobel Prize Peace Prize last year for her focus on human rights. Thanks, Robert. Jimmy Carter the year before. But I will guarantee you, well, maybe I better not. My gut tells me it would never be Tony Blair or George W. Bush. They are warmongers. All right, I want to play these for you real quick, then to your phone calls. This is Bush speaking to reporters after meeting with his economic advisors today. Yesterday he went to New Hampshire to defend his economic record because the Democrats are saying that he favors the rich and he let 2.5 million jobs disappear. Now, we know that's not true. Jesus Christ, how could any of us think that? How could any of us think that? So Bush was in Merrimack, New Hampshire, and according to the Associated Press, he was almost drowned out by the cheers, people cheering him. Jesus, he says, you can tell I'm upbeat, and I got reason to be. Not only do the numbers say things are looking pretty good, American people are telling me they feel pretty good. Now, he was there for a fundraiser, of course. He said the economy was rebounding under his watch and that he was determined to see it through to even better days. Oh, my God. Of course, the Medicare law that the Republicans browbeat their cohorts into passing is up by 35% in what, less than a month? $134 billion more than what the Bush people lied about. We are going to have over a $500 billion deficit this year. Never mind. You know all this. Okay, so here he is speaking to reporters after meeting with his economic advisors today. And this is where maybe the White House press corps, some of them, is beginning to develop some spine. First reporter says to Bush, Mr. President, Senator McCain, David Kaye, among many others, say it's time for an independent investigation into weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and intelligence. Why resist, sir, this kind of inquiry now when your own weapons inspector says it's needed?
I, too, want to know the facts. I want to be able to compare what the Iraqi survey group has found with what we thought prior to going into Iraq. One thing is for certain, one thing we do know from Mr. Kaye's testimony as well as from the years of intelligence that we had gathered is that Saddam Hussein was a danger. He was a
growing danger.
Oh, Jesus, I can't wait till this guy is sent back to Dallas to sell cars. Bush continues to answer the same question from the same reporter, then tries to call on a reporter named Karen, as the first reporter named Scott tries to ask a follow-up, which Bush refuses to answer and instead just keeps calling on Karen. But surprise, surprise, Karen begins to ask Scott's follow-up. Listen to this.
We dealt with the danger, and as a result, the world is a better place and a more peaceful place. And the Iraqi people are free. And a free Iraq is in this nation's national interest. A free Iraq will bring, you know, a much-needed change in a part of the world that has fostered terror.
Are you dead?
Karen? Karen? I want to know the facts. Karen?
Are you against the idea of
a... Just a follow-up to Scott's question?
Yeah.
Let me repeat what I just said. I want to know the facts. And I want to know exactly... I want to compare what the ISG finds with what we thought going in.
Okay, if you didn't hear it, he says a free Iraq will bring much-needed change in a part of the world that has fostered terror. Karen? Scott keeps talking. Are you dead set against it? And that's an investigation. Bush says, Karen. Scott says, are you ruling it out? Bush says, I want to know the facts. Karen. Karen says, are you against the idea of a new, and she's about to say investigation. Bush says, is this a follow-up to Scott's question? Karen says, yes. That's what's needed. I wish. You know what they ought to do? Fire the entire White House press corps and turn loose on the White House the journalism students at Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism. And I forget the professor's name there, the guy that assisted in getting the death penalty ended in the state of Illinois. The guy the professor and his class were responsible because they were persistent. They used techniques of journalism to ferret out the truth. Turn those students over to... into the White House. Put those students in front of this punk Scott McClellan and this pretend toy President George Bush. They would make mincemeat out of him. Speaking of Scott McClellan, listen as reporters try to interrupt him during his answer to a reporter's question about Bush's seeming admission today that perhaps Iraq did not have weapons of mass destruction. Oh, my goodness. The reporter had asked Scott. The president was very careful not to answer the question about whether he supported an independent commission on Iraq. Is there any movement on that? Does the White House...
No one wants to know more than the president. No one wants to know more than the president. And the mission of the Iraq Survey Group is to find the truth so that we can draw as complete a picture as possible and compare that information that they learned on the ground, the facts, with what we knew before the war. But regardless, Saddam Hussein's regime was a grave and gathering threat.
Listen to that. Just listen to that. I just hope the members of the White House press corps will develop some spine. Southside Carl is checking in from Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, you went over one of the things I wanted to talk about.
Say what?
You just went over one of the things I wanted to talk about.
Well, good. I'm way ahead of you then, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
What?
I'm, like, kind of knocked back on my butt, you know, hearing him say, well, I want to learn more about the facts.
Yeah, right. Right. This jackass took us to war without the facts?
And I'm like, you know...
Isn't that what he told us that he had was the fact?
That's what I thought.
Nuclear bombs and rockets and...
This is what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, that what he told us was the facts. And now we find out he didn't know the facts. He did say, I want to learn more about the facts, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And then there was the other thing. There was another thing that you hit on also.
Yeah.
About the economy thing.
Yeah.
You know, they got 96 House members, conservatives, that's going to be meeting. And they upset because they said that Bush lied to them about the...
No.
And I'm like, surprise.
Yeah, right. Surprise, surprise, you jackasses. Bush lied to him, right.
And then the thing was, a little later on, I forgot one of the cable channels, Tommy Thompson, they questioned him about it, and he got like, well, he didn't know what he should say, and then he kind of like told a little bit more than what he should have. He said, well, I knew about it. The leadership knew, at least the staff knew, so the leadership lied to their own party members.
Right.
Didn't tell them.
And here's the thing, Carl, and this is the truth. George W. Bush and his cabinet, these are not Republicans. They're not even hardcore right-wing Republicans. They are neo-Nazis. They don't give a tinker's damn about Republican Party politics. What they care about is power. George Bush and his thugs, his regime, will tell these stupid-ass Republicans anything they want to hear. I don't care if it's the Republican leadership, Bill Frist. I don't care if it's what's a freak from Mississippi who was thrown out. The former Senate leader, Trent Lott. I don't care who it is. They will say anything. If it's Republicans in Tennessee or Kentucky or Arizona, someplace, just the regular folks who are vote, they'll say, oh yeah, we're Christian. Oh yeah, we care about stopping abortion. Oh yeah, we want everybody to be armed. These sons of bitches will lie about anything, and they lie to their own people. Now, what is fun to watch is when the Republicans, just your normal right-wing, thuggish, stupid Republicans like Bill Frist, like Tom DeLay, like Dennis Hastert, like the rest of these jackasses, when they come out of the ether and they go, oh, damn, he lied to me. You mean it ain't going to cost $500 billion? It's going to cost $650 billion? Oh, God, that's awful. I love to see it. But Bush doesn't care. The only people Bush is responsible to are, the only folks he's responsible to are the people with the money, the corporate masters, the Ken Lays, the Skillings, these thugs who put him in power, Halliburton, Bechtel. That's all. Bush can be anything he wants. If he thought he could get power, he would become a Roosevelt liberal tomorrow.
Well, you know, we got another problem too, and that's the media.
Well,
you know, like, you know, like I'm like thinking like, okay, this has been one of the stories about, well, you got David Kay trying to say, well, the administration didn't know it was the intelligence community that let down the president. I'm like, okay. Now, you know, what is with the media, plus a lot of other pundits and all these other supposed to be smart people that you don't understand that, well, look, the guy said for a fact, we know what the weapons are.
Right.
We know what kind they are. We know how many there are. All of this is fact. This wasn't conjecture or
David Kay is trying to make sure that he doesn't get an envelope full of anthrax, or that the next airplane he gets on doesn't crash, because he's let the bear out of the box, and even the brain dead American media, some of it is starting to pick up on what David Kay actually said.
What they won't say though is.
Yeah, Kay's trying to set it up to make it look like an intelligence failure. Oh, bat squeeze.
But that doesn't work because
no, it doesn't.
The thing is, if it was an intelligence failure, you know he would have put it on them already. Yeah. He can't put it on intelligence because he can't make it stick on them.
Right.
And the media isn't picking up on it because if he could, he would have been saying, well, oh, Tenet, you out of here. You know, somebody would have been gone by now, but he ain't got no fall guy. And the media is sitting around twiddling their thumbs and stuff and won't ask the question, well, did the president lie?
I know.
And I mean, to me, it's obvious that, well, I mean, when Bill Clinton said, I didn't have sexual relationships with that woman, well, technically, the relationship was the key word, but for common people, you had sex with her. That was a lie.
Right.
I took it as a lie.
Well, Carl,
tell me a fact that, well, I know where the weapons are, and then you don't. Well, that's a lie.
Okay, but Carl, don't expect the media to pick up what you pick up, what I pick up, what the people who listen to this program pick up. Media aren't going to do anything. They're only going to do what Karl Rove allows them to do, except a couple of them might jump a little bit froggy like these two did today. They might jump just a little bit on Scott McClellan. But for the most part, you know, the Peter Jennings and the Dan Rathers and the rest of these people who may understand perfectly how they are contributing to the destruction of this country, they're not going to say anything because, you know, they make the big bucks, they get paid a lot of money, and they're not going to risk their jobs, and they don't want that envelope full of anthrax.
Well, before I let you go, let me say this for the guy that said he was Portuguese.
Yeah.
And he said, well, they maybe should go to dirty tricks or stuff like that.
Right.
That ain't necessary. All the Democrats need to do is collectively just tell the truth on this guy.
Yeah.
And force the media to get him to address it. You know, if all of them go in court and say, well, Bush is a liar, you know, and then make the media put them under pressure to, well, hey, well, the Democrats are all saying that you're a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't hold your breath on that one either. And by the way, you sound like you have a cold. You better get...
Yeah, I got a head cold this week.
Okay, well, get well.
All right, Mike.
Thanks, Carl.
Okay.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Byron is calling. He's from Joplin, Missouri, but he's probably someplace. Where are you tonight? One of our truck drivers. Where are you?
Adel, Georgia.
Hey, Adel. Oh, my God. You're coming up I-75.
Well, I am. If you meet me out to Petro tomorrow, I'll buy you lunch.
I'm going up in the mountains with my wife tomorrow, dude.
Oh, is that Aquarian bride of yours?
Yeah, right. A very pregnant bride of mine. I got to get her out of the house.
I hear you.
She's starting to chew the furniture. There ain't nothing weirder than being around somebody that's 3 months and 2 weeks pregnant. Trust me.
Hell, I've done it twice.
I hear you. I have, too.
I was talking to you once before. You know, we're both Tauruses married to Aquarians. So.
No, I'm a Cancer.
Oh, I thought you were a Taurus.
No, I was born. I'm July 1st, and Kathy is a Capricorn.
Oh.
You're getting me confused with Randy Rhodes or somebody.
No, I've slept since then.
That's all right.
Well, I was talking to Moose and Squirrel. No, I'm not going to go there.
No, don't go there.
Hey, this truck driver last night you had on David. Now, that guy's a plant. I mean, no, but truck drivers aren't that stupid.
No, but he is. He is a very sad man. I don't think he's stupid. I think he's like a lot of these guys, Byron. He's just willfully ignorant. You know, he's getting his throat slashed by George Bush, and eventually he's going to be like me and a lot of other people. He's going to be unemployed, and then he's going to realize that this little...
He'll still vote for him.
Yeah, he probably will. You're right. There's nothing sadder to me than Republicans who, working class people who continue to think that George Bush is the guy who's going to lead him to the promised land. It is so sad.
It's amazing. But, you know, it's awful hard to develop any kind of opinion about anything when, you know, like your people have been talking about all night, especially... you know, the guy just before me about the media. I mean, the print media is just as bad as the TV and radio. I mean, this thing I was talking to you about last night, this Peter Jennings, he was, you know, Michael Moore had been to one of these shindigs with Clark.
Right.
And he said, you know, the deserter versus the general. And
right.
Peter Jennings.
We talked about that. Hey, let me put you on hold a second, Byron. We got a break here. I'll come back and pick you up. We'll have about a minute and a half when we come back. Stay with us.
Coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Don't say anything too profound. Dumb it down.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free, 1-800-205-7067, or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067, or populist.com, or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my charge?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Hey, we're just about out of time. We're talking with Byron from Joplin, Missouri, by way of Adel, Georgia. All right.
Hey.
Yeah, Byron, wrap it up for me, pal.
All right, minute and a half. Scott Ritter was on C-SPAN this morning, and he explained to a caller that what he had said was that America would be forced to leave with her tail between her legs. And this jerk, editor-in-chief from the Washington Times, came on after him and said that he had said that what Ritter said was that the American soldiers were going to leave with their tails between their legs.
Oh, God.
And when he was called on it by another caller, he continued to repeat it twice after that. I mean, this is the kind of media that we've got. And if anybody wants to know about the criminal Bush clan, they don't take it from Democrats. Read a book by a Republican, Kevin Phillips. It's called American Dynasty.
Yeah.
He'll explain to you exactly about this Bush clan. And one last thing. Tony Blankley was on NPR this morning with David Korn and another lady. And he was trying to make excuses for Bush because his unit hadn't been called up, that he couldn't be a deserter. I mean, have you ever heard this comedian? His name's Black. I can't remember what his first name is, but you know when you were a kid and you had to an exclamation, somebody said something real stupid. He goes, I hear this stuff and I just go, my God, what is wrong with these people? Anyway, Kathy, 3 months, you must be glowing, darling. Take care.
She's starting to glow. Thanks, Byron.
Bye.
You have a good weekend, sir. Are you glowing? Huh?
I think it's the acne.
I think you're glowing, but that's the little redness you get in your cheeks from vomiting all the time. I guess that could be a glow, right? Huh?
That and a nice oily sheen.
Yeah, right. Program produced by her, Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman here in Atlanta. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Program engineered in Detroit by John Lucas. Thank you, John. Mark Marshall is our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't been there, go there. And when you get there, go to the gallery page. There's some. Marcus put up some good audio, some good video. Check it out. Our music bureau chief is Jim in Arkansas, and our senior correspondent is Chris in Minnesota. Oh, man, thank God it's Friday night. I'll see you all Monday, I hope. I really hope. Don't forget, at 8:10 and 8:35 Eastern Time, Super Bowl Sunday, switch to CNN. Check out the ad. Take care. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kinney, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There was a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. An explosion at an arms dump that killed 7 U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan was an accident, authorities and militants fighting U.S. forces said on Friday. Thursday's blast near the town of Ghazni was one of the worst single blows to U.S. forces hunting al-Qaeda and Taliban in Afghanistan since their intervention in late 2001. A U.S. military spokesman said the incident was still under investigation. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said Thursday that people concerned about losing freedom to government anti-terrorism efforts should speak out. The Supreme Court is taking up several terror-related cases this spring, including challenges to the government detention of terror suspects without legal